Got shouting over that one because it is grace, isn't it? Amen. I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, He 42 years ago when He saved Judy and me on a Sunday night, it's been the greatest experience that we have ever had of being born again. And it's been the greatest journey and the greatest adventure of following Him and doing His will. It's been wonderful. I recommend it, okay? I don't want you to think I'm a preacher that's unhappy. I'm not. I'm glad. And it sure did help Judy. She was awful mean, but God really did do a work, okay? I always have to tell the truth because I'm up here, see? So I just have to tell it like it is. It's good to be with you. I appreciate your pastor calling and asking me about a year ago. Would I hold this Sunday to come and be with you? And it's a great honor. I appreciate seeing your new auditorium. I've gone by on the outside, but now I've been on the inside. I feel better on the inside, and it's just beautiful. Thank the Lord. Praise God for His blessings upon you. I remember coming here years ago for a God Save America conference, and it was a morning message, the morning time. And we arrived about 9 o'clock and parked our car and came in. And when we went out at noon, I couldn't find the car. It was covered up with snow, and I couldn't find the car where we were. I thought, oh, dear Lord, I'll have to clean them all off before I find mine. And Dan Woodward loaded us up. I know he calls them donuts, but I call them apples. We went out and went around and around and around and around. And then he'd say, look at there, isn't that neat? Look at there, look at that. He had some man in the truck, and he was trying to impress this fella. It was an older man, and Dan told him, said, let's put these ski helmets on now while we do these donuts. Well, the man thought, goodness, we have to wear a helmet? Yep, you have to wear a helmet. Sure, he got his helmet on. It was an old man, too. And Dan was going around and around and around and doing those donuts. And somebody had dug a big hole. And the truck swung around and went down in that hole. And you know what it did next? Flipped upside down. And the man said, you were right. We did have to wear our helmets, didn't we? So, and that's where I've been for 10 days at Dan Woodward's. So if I act a little funny, you know, that's the reason why. Boy, he picked on your wife last night, didn't he? Got her to eat potato pancakes with applesauce on. Sour cream. And applesauce. And she was saying no the whole time Dan was putting it on her plate. So there you go. You might as well let Brother Woodward have his own way. I told the people in Sunday school, good to be back among the civilized today. And, like that. Well, I love you this morning. Thank you. Come with me in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus. It's over in the third book of your Bible. If you open your Bible, you'll come to the book of Genesis, and then the book of Exodus, and then the book of Leviticus. And if you'll come to Leviticus for me, please. I don't always go there, but the Lord burdened my heart about something, and I was trying to go another way and another way, but the Lord just said, better do what I want, and I better do what He wants, seeing as how He's the boss, isn't He? So if you'll come to Leviticus 18, Genesis, Exodus, and then the book of Leviticus in chapter 18. I'll read the first 5 verses to you, and then we'll have prayer. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Now, if you hold your Bible there, just right there for a few minutes, let's ask God one more time to bless us this morning and to use this message as only He can do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we open the Word of God this morning. I know it's an unusual place to go to on a Sunday morning, but Brother and Angel said, Brother Ron, around here we don't have morning messages and evening messages. We just want what God wants. So I've turned here, Lord. Now, please, blessed Holy Spirit, bear fruit this morning that would glorify Christ. Do a work in hearts. God, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All of you have heard the conversations and the debates as to what liberties the government ought to have upon our personal lives, like in our own homes and things like that. And I'm like you. I'm not for them having any part in my home or something like that. But when I kept hearing that, I thought, but I know how the Lord looks at it. Did you notice at the end of verse 1, or at the end of verse 2, he said, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God." And what he's saying is, that means the things that I tell you, they do have an effect over your life because I am the Lord your God. That you read, I read to you, he said you were down in Egypt for 400 years and you saw how the Egyptians lived. You saw the things they did. You saw how they worshiped their gods. Ye shall not do after the doings of the people in Egypt. And then he said, I'm taking you to the land of Canaan. And there you're going to see the Canaanites. You're going to see nations of people and the things they do and the way they worship their gods. Ye shall not do that. And then he said at the end of verse 4, I am the Lord your God. I'm telling you, do not do as you saw or as you will see. You keep yourself separated. Remember the New Testament? We're to separate ourselves unto the Lord, the New Testament teaches. And then in verse 5, notice he comes down there and says, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. Now notice he makes one little change. He says, I am the Lord. Now, he's saying there is those among you, they were called the mixed multitude, they were called strangers. They had come over to Israel to walk with them, to come into Canaan with them. And he said, I'm speaking not only to you Jewish people, but I'm speaking to all people. I am the Lord. I have a right to tell you. A parent says to a child, listen, I'm your mother, and I'm telling you, you're not going to do that. Or, I am your dad. You understand that? I am your dad, and you are not, or you are going to. God said, I am the Lord your God. You got saved. I gave my son to die for you, just like the lady sang about a few minutes ago. And I'm telling you, I'm your God. And there's some things I don't want you to do, and there's some things that you see people do, don't you do it. Then before we start into verse 6, he said, and I want to tell everybody that listens, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Not just I may not be your God. You may not be saved yet. You may not recognize me or bow to my will. But whether you do or not, I'm going to tell you plainly, God said, I am the Lord. And there can't anything change that. Now, beginning in verse 6 and coming down to verse 24, God is going to speak of five sins that are abomination to God. An abomination. The word abomination means disgusting. Disgusting to God's sight, disgusting to God's ears, disgusting to God's mind. For example, you see, God never commanded us to offer our children as sacrifices. He did send Abraham with Isaac up onto Mount Moriah. But as Isaac lifted the knife, God said, Abraham, Abraham. And he told him, don't you do that. And there was a ram in the thicket ready for sacrifice. God said, I know you love me now because of what you did. But you see, these religions, Egypt, Canaan, the Philistines, they all gave their children in sacrifice. And it was disgusting to God. Kind of like abortion, murdering the unborn. Doesn't matter what people call it. It is an abomination in the sight of God. It is disgusting. And if anybody is going to tell you the truth, they'll have to tell you that, because that is the truth. Now, I want you to see these five sins with me, and I have a reason for that. I'm not going to say much about them. I'm going to read you the Bible. Some of you have never read Leviticus 18. Some of you, what you know about these sins, you've heard on the television. But if you follow closely, you'll see that more and more programs have in them these sins. And they're not disgusting. They're funny. They want to make it funny. They're for serious consideration. You don't have to consider some things. It's wrong. I am the Lord. You say, I'm not saved. That doesn't have anything to do with me. Wrong. God is God. God is the Lord. And you live on His earth. And you are going to give an account of yourself to God. You can be sure of that. Maybe all of your friends are for these sins. If they are, I feel sorry for them. Many in prison are. I'm not hiding my eyes. I know I'm going upstream against America when you preach such things. But here they are in the Bible. If you say to me, I wish you wouldn't read that in the hearing of my children, well, please don't tell me, tell God. It's His book, and mine don't say, don't read this. Doesn't say that. Amen. Doesn't say that. Just because many of you pussyfooted around with churches that don't say anything or do anything or condemn anything, and you think every place you go all preachers are the same. But all preachers are not the same. I want to show you these five disgusting sins. When we come down to the end, I got something I want to say to us this morning. Just what the Bible said. Here's the first one. It has a name today, and it begins in verse 6, and it is the name of incest. Incest. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. There it is. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. You remember after the flood, the first curse that came upon man was because Ham went in and saw the nakedness of his father. Perhaps he'd done other things too. There is a hint of that in the Hebrew language. It is against, it is disgusting to God. For adults to walk around naked in their home is disgusting to God. For boys to not be careful in the presence of their sister, or for girls to come down from their bedroom nearly nude is wrong. And I have Bible for it. And God said, I am the Lord. Yes, sir, God's telling you how to live in your house. And all of you with them porno tapes and Playboy channels, and say what we do in our bedrooms, our business. Wait a minute, Jack. You're not reading the Bible close. I am the Lord. And if pornographic things are for anything, they're for incest with children. Judy and I know an FBI agent. And we were in her church not long ago where she attends. And we were talking with her. She knows the work I do, and I know what she does. And she's part of a 75 FBI people who are constantly searching for child pornographers, for those who buy the material, for those who send the material, for those who sell the material, for those who make the material. That's all she does. Numbers go by on her screen, but she's looking for something. And when she finds it, and I'm telling you, we have a problem in America with these sins. I noticed in my study, and I want to say the number was 12 million. Every day in America, the porno sites that are available on the internet receive 12 million hits a day. 12 million filthy, ungodly, that God said is an abomination in His sight. Let's read on. In verse 8, the nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. You remember 1 Corinthians 5? There was a boy there having immorality. He listed experiences with his father's wife. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister. How many boys that go to school and hear things talked and look at pictures. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. That's incest. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thy aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and of her daughter. And there's so much of that. So many women remarry or just take in some man to live there. And she is so thrilled that this man loves her. But the truth is, he don't give a rip about you. His eye is on your daughter. Today in prison, there are ten thousands that are there for child molestation, child pornography. Do you know when you speak to them, some have been deacons, some have been song leaders. The man I told you about in Sunday school, why could he lead singing and sing solos? But because before he committed the murder, he was the song leader in their church. These are very practical things today. The kids get sex education, but it needs to be read out of the Bible by the man of God that says right to the children, It's wrong for your uncle. It's wrong for your cousin. It's wrong for your brother. It's wrong for your stepbrother. It's wrong for your mother's boyfriend. The creep. See, you ought not talk like that. You're a preacher. I called him a creep, and he's worse than that. And stringing him up's too good for him. I might be a prison preacher, but I ain't colored with a Laffodil perfume. You understand that? I read the Bible, you outfit. Somebody needs to hear, let the children hear, that what's going on at home, you're told not to say anything about it. God hates it. And the individual that's doing it is a heathen. I don't care if he's sitting next to you in the church. Read on. I'll keep at the Bible, and that way you can't jump on me, though I got Judy with me, and I wouldn't advise you to jump on me. Her daddy was a gunsmith, and she is a dead shot, buddy. One day at a Sunday school picnic, I loaded it, and she said, no, no. I said, yeah, go on, woman. She said, no. I said, go on. She took that .22 and said, pow, and blew the end out of the soup can. And the other guys in the church said, no wonder you've been married so long. You don't run around on her, do you? Man, no. I'm smarter than that. She don't believe in divorce, but she does believe in going to funerals. Her and Sister Cindy, Mrs. Woodward, were talking on the way back from the graveside. They're going by and get their ears pierced. Because I'll be dead. She said, no, oh, come on. Come back to the Bible. Boy, the women were saying, hey, man, preacher, go ahead, till I said about their punching holes in their head. I thought your body belonged to Christ. Did you ask Him? Did He want another hole in the roof? Well, did you? Man, no, you just went down to the mall and put it on the altar, didn't you? I'm trying to read the Bible. Would you come on and quit messing around with me? Look in verse 6. I don't even know where I was. Verse 16. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. For they are her near kinswoman. And right here, do you see these three words? It is wickedness. It ain't funny. It isn't for your enjoyment off of the Playboy channel. It's not for you to bring it up on your internet. It is wickedness. Now you hang on, I ain't done reading the chapter yet. You'll be under the pew before I quit reading. I'm mad at you. Why don't you make an ugly face? I've lived with them 46 years. One more won't hurt me, Jack. Come on, I'm going to read verse 18. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister. Boy, that's a common thing on them afternoon shows. Orpy Wimpy and all them Neraldos and a Stinger, Stringer, Squeeter, or whatever he is. And you watch that filth, huh? I see some of you trying to grin. That's because you're trying to get the monkey off your back. But I'm a prison preacher. Putting a monkey on you is what I come to do. I'm going to read on. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness, beside the other in her lifetime. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Now, some might say, I don't understand that. Well, let me quote a verse. Now, it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. It's speaking of the God-given matter that God has given women. And during that time, she is to be kept apart. Well, you say, I can't do that. Man, I can't do that. Let me write in a God-given eyeball turkey. I want to say something to you. Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus. He married her. He had no relations with her the entire time Jesus was in her womb. Then the baby was born, and there was a specific number of days, and it wasn't a few days, that she was considered to be unclean, wherein she was given time to recover from the birth of the baby. Then she had to go up to the temple and offer a sacrifice. And Joseph restrained himself. But you see, in America, the reason the preacher has to read such stuff on a Sunday morning is we don't know anything about restraining ourselves. If it feels good, do it. If you want it, put it on your Visa card. It doesn't matter that you can't pay for it. Put it on there. Let's have a great Christmas. Did you see on the TV this week a woman charged $13,000 worth of gifts for Christmas? And they were in the back seat of her car. And she stopped at some Home Depot or something like that, one of them well-known things. And while she was in there, somebody broke in and stole all $13,000 worth of gifts. I wonder how that woman was going to pay for $13,000 worth of Christmas gifts. What would you do if your wife did it? What would you do if, like, I was in a church and the pastor said, I have a problem, you have to tell me. I said, tell me what your problem is. He said, this woman is calling porno sites and their phone bill this month is over $20,000. And I'm just trying to keep her husband from killing her. What should I do? I said, well, let him kill her. Well, that's what I wanted to say. Can you pay $20,000 phone bills? What makes us do that? The very thing that God had to put this in the Bible. The Egyptians and the Canaanites, anything went. All of this incest was practiced. Come on, I'm not done. See, there's a mystery and excitement in verse 6. Down to verse 19, there's a mystery, there's an excitement, there's a terrible excitement. But there comes a time with us when the roller coaster's got to get bigger and taller and faster and more scarier and more loops and more upside downs. So you come to verse 20 and here's sin number 2 that is disgusting in the sight of God. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife. That's adultery. Notice this, to defile thyself. Notice that when you go against God's law, notice what it does to you. It defiles you. The word carnally there, you say, well, I don't know what that means. Well, I'll just tell you. It means seed sowing. Does that help you? Seed sowing time. That's adultery. How about these things in school? A 42-year-old woman having sexual relations with a 15-year-old boy. And they gave her 3 years of house arrest. If I was a man, he'd have got 15 years in the joint. Are you listening to me? What's that tell you about the judges and the attorneys and the district attorneys? Why did they do that? I hate to tell you what I think. But anybody that has any sense would know. Why would a 42-year-old woman want a 15-year-old boy? I'll tell you why. That's America! That's your television! That's your channels! That's your internet! That's the adult bookstores. That's the books you buy in there. That's what that's all about. Number two was adultery. I don't care what goes on at your office. You mark her down, I got the Bible, and I'm going to stick with it. God hates it. And you defile yourself when you do it. Number three, notice how we're getting worse and worse and worse. Look, you start out with this incest. Things don't start going uphill. Things turn downhill. Downhill. This is a slide downward. And we'll see where it ends in just a little bit. Number three, notice now you want excitement. Okay, incest, then adultery. Now then, in verse 21, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed, the word carnally and the word seed are the same Hebrew word. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. In the valley of Hinnom, there was an idol, a huge idol, and it was hollow. And the priest of that idol built a fire. There was a door in the back of it, and they built a fire in it. And they stoked the fire until the idol was red hot. And then in the valley of Hinnom, they began to beat the drums. Just like when you watch them nature programs overseas and all that stuff, they began to beat the drums. And when the drums got so loud, you could not only hear it, you could feel it in your soul. Parents would throw their little babies up into the red hot arms. And the reason the drums beat so loud at that time, so they couldn't hear the baby screaming. When you leave what God gave you naturally, boys and girls, young couples. You're not going upward, you're going downhill. Are you listening to me? Let's read on. Number four, verse 22. I don't care what they say. They can pass laws in Canada. Probably I could go to prison for reading this verse. But I'm going to read it. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. You can call it gay. You can call it anything you want. All I'm going to do is read the Bible to you, Jack. It's an abomination. Amen. It's disgusting. Disgusting. Huh? I don't think there was any of them guys on the ship I was on, or we'd have tied a rope and threw him over the side and fished with him all the way back. Well, Bill Clinton's Navy, they were all in there, he said. I'm glad they were with him and not with mine. We were trying to fight over in Vietnam. You sure don't need that crowd. So I'm going to tell my congressman, well, he'll have to tear this page out of the Bible. We need it read. Did I say anything you ain't heard on TV yet? Don't you come up and say anything to Terry Angel till you're ready to cut your cable and heave it out. I've got to read number five. Whew. I can't help that's how many there is. I didn't write the Bible. Now, I'm telling you, it's downhill. I almost dread to read this one. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Means it's a mixture. It's unnatural. But on the internets, there are regular sites. Five sins and an abomination. Let's read on. We'll go toward closing. I didn't say we were going to close. I said we'd go that way. I'm just reading the Bible. I'm down to verse 24. Maybe it continues in chapter 19. I could read that too. But, well, anyway, we'll see if we can get there. Verse 24. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Now, here's one of the points I wanted to get to you this morning. Oh, America, America. Listen now. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And notice this. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger. Notice that. Should we let everybody come from everywhere in the world and come to our country? And because they practice this filth in their country, we ought to allow them to do it in our country? No, sir, not any stranger that sojourneth among you. Amen. Now you got it out of the Bible. Now read on. For all these abominations, these disgusting things, have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, and the land spewed not you out, that the land spewed not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. People, I've heard it said, only sin that you're going to hell over is not believing. Well, I know you have to believe. But I won't tell you something. From working in prison, men that start cohabiting with men, they cross a line. If you could see this pulpit, there's a gouge right there, isn't there, Terry? And in prison, you'll see them. They'll get over on this side of the line. You can't reach them because God won't deal with them. You can't do it. And the more you try, the more effeminate and disgusting and filthy they get. And the inmates, lost inmates will say, leave him alone, preacher. He's crossed the line. Are you listening to me, young people? What starts out to be some kind of excitement like you ain't never had. Do you understand where it's leading? And what about our nation? What happened to the Canaanites? Their land spewed them, vomited them out. You know what's going to happen to America? How many of you realize they want more and more and more rights for the worst sins? Don't they? Where is America going? It's gone. Our nation is going to be gone. I've got a grandson, 22 years old. I want a nation for him. I'll close. verse 29, for whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them. Notice the souls, you have a soul. The soul that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. You know where them people are going? To hell. What about our nation? More lost people than we've ever seen, isn't there? Every program tries to tell you teenagers it's all right. You don't need to live holy. But they're lying.
That's right.
Are you listening, kids? They're lying. I'm not down on you, kids. But every week we look at them behind the bars. 14-year-old boys that have committed every sexual sin that anybody ever thought of, and some that no one ever thought of. And they're beyond help. They're cruel. Cruel, unbelievably cruel. Right in Chicago, a 6-year-old boy threw his baby brother or sister, I can't remember what it was, out the apartment window from several stories up. It's the youngest person we ever found in prison. 6 years old. Come on, let's close, please, and get to the point so we can really close. Verse 30. Therefore shall you keep my ordinance that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. Now, I want you to be sure you see, notice at the end of the chapter, he calls them abominable customs. The word customs means a usual action or practice, a usual habit, the established way of acting, a practice maintained for so long that it has the force of law. Are you listening? A practice maintained for so long that it has the force of law. You remember when Lot tried to warn Sodom and Gomorrah, and them homosexuals gathered around his house? They hated Lot, didn't they? And they said, we'll teach this one. We're becoming more and more the minority. Are you listening to me? Even in churches, how many of you, I don't you lift your hand, thank God for Terry Angel in this church that would permit a man come and tell you the truth? How many churches, how many preachers? What about Schuller and the glass cathedral? Would he dare read this on the air? How many churches in this area would let their preacher read that? There'd be a deacon meeting this afternoon. And I'd let Judy go while I took a nap. Go handle them deacons, wifey. I'd be alone. You know I'm telling you the truth. Notice, in the beginning, look in verse 3. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwell, ye shall not do. Doings refers to a multitude of acts, but do means a single act. Not one time should you ever touch your sister. Not one time should your aunt or a school teacher or a teenage girl make a pass at you. Not one time. But now notice this. It starts out with a single act. And when you close the chapter, it has become a custom. Is that telling us anything? God said, one single act, and then another, and then another. What do they teach us? They say women who have been abused, abuse their children. Women who were molested, their children are more likely to be molested because she was molested. And now if this live-in boyfriend, if they molest her kids, well, she just tells her daughter, yes, that happened to me too. That's wrong. Say amen right there. It's wrong. Does God not... Where does this homosexuality come from? They want to say, it's in my genes. Wrong, Jack. Wrong, wrong, wrong. And if you don't like me, stand behind my car when I leave today. You weren't born that way, Jaybird. I'll tell you how you got that way. Somebody committed a single act. And the excitement of it. Now you know something. You're like Adam and Eve after they sinned. Now you know something. And look at me. Until you get down here and you're 35 years old and you're on the internet trying to pick up an 11-year-old girl. And the FBI is looking for you, Jack, and might have your name already. 75 of them across America are watching that business. Now he's down here, and it's his custom. Let's close this morning, please. Come to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Hurry, please. I gotta do something for my nation. I can't let it go there. I gotta show you something. If you're late today and you're behind the Methodists in the cafeteria line, well, just bear with it. Methodists ain't known for eating too much no how, so there should be something there for you. Maybe you'll get amongst the Pentecostals and they'll ask you, what did your preacher preach on this morning? And I double dog dare you to tell them. They'll faint. You can step over and go to the head of the line. Amen. Wifey, quit bending over. You know I'm preaching this message. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You ready? Let's get ready for the invitation. If my people, which are called by my name, now that's us that are here this morning, it's you teenage boys, you young ladies, it's you young men back there in that row. If my people, which are called by my name, listen, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and look who's got to turn, and turn from their wicked ways. Are we watching them television shows? Do you know what you're doing? You're grieving God. You're saying, I agree with this. Ha, 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 ha. I agree with this. Ha, 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 ha. Ain't that funny? I agree with this. And God looks down in disgust and said, if that's what they want, let them have it. I'm going to tell you, when that crowd rules our nation, and they're just about to do it. There be no nation. So let's see. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn the TV off. Turn that internet off. Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off. Get it out of you. Then will I hear from heaven And don't we want this for my grandson and your children and your children's children? And we'll forgive their sin and notice this and we'll heal their land. Is there any hope? Yes, there's a hope. But why must I preach it? Why don't I leave it go? Why don't I stay silent? Because you are the only people that can make a difference with whether or not there's America to even be blessed by God. All you that watch it after the children go to bed, I'm sorry. Don't let your marriage come to that. It's a slide downhill and it's hard to get back up. Are you listening to me? It's hard. Why preach it to you? You're the only people that I can preach it to. I can't go to the Pope. Ain't nobody going to let me on Jerry Falvoil's program. I sure can't get on that guy out of Atlanta. I need people that hit that altar and mean business with God. I need young people. I need young adults. You young men back there. I need you on the altar. You need to get on the altar, not just this morning, but every time the altar call is going. You ought to get down here and make sure you yourself are clean so that God will heal our land. If you're here today and you're not married, you better get that way. God ain't for you shacking up. I don't care if everybody in your apartment building shacked up. You ought to get married and hang a sign on the door. We are married. Put them all under conviction. And try to get everybody on your floor married. Then you can put up a big sign. Everybody on this floor is married. Woo! That way they'll come down and blow your door off the hinges and stuff like that. Well, that's your weather better than being loved by them heathen, ain't it? I want to close now. Honestly, I want to close. Look in Luke 7. Ready? And I'm done. This is the last verse. I'm done. I want to show you Christians there is an answer and we need you. Now, this is just the truth. I go to prison. I see the end of it. Girls and boys and teenagers that get involved. Let me say it this way. Many of the prisons, we have a missionary full time. One of the jobs they like for our missionary to do is to interview all the prisoners coming to the prison concerning spiritual matters. So we put together a questionnaire that they answer, and here it is. In all the years that we've done it, not a single time has a prisoner checked in that said, I am a virgin. No such thing. 13-year-old boys with 2, 15-year-old boys with 3 children already by different women. Not a boy, not a girl has ever checked the box. Yes, I am a virgin. They all check no. Here's a woman in Luke 7, and I'll be done. In verse, you remember Jesus went to Simon the Pharisee's house, and this woman come in, she's crying. And she knelt down at his feet. She washed his feet with her tears. She wiped them with the hairs of her head. Boy, it made Simon mad because Simon said she is a sinner. You know what that meant? She was a woman of the streets. Verse 47, Jesus is going to speak to her. Watch. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. For but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. I don't know you folks. I just arrived. But I want to say to you, if you're here this morning, and what I read made you uncomfortable because of what you've experienced, can I tell you this morning, the blood of Jesus Christ would wash you white as snow. Can I tell you, Ezekiel said, it'll never be remembered to you again. God will never mention it again. God will never bring it up. God will never say, what about back yonder? What about when? God will never say that. God will never bring it up. Sins forgiven. I had to read that to you. Boy, I'm so glad for that. Judy and I know a woman that done a lot of time. As a teenager, she and a gang that she ran with kidnapped a girl, tied her in the bedroom on the bed, and for 2 weeks they done the most terrible things to that girl. Terrible things. Judy might remember, I know she done, I believe it was 25 years. It's a long time, wasn't it, wifey? 25 years. She had life, and I believe she made parole at 25 years. She got saved while she was in prison. She came out. She said, I don't want to be in the world. And the pastor that led her to Christ and taught her, he took her in at his church, and she works there as the church secretary. God can forgive sins. Amen. Would you stand this morning, please? Our Father, I'm preaching for my nation. As I travel, I'm preaching for my nation. I want wives to say to their husbands, this has to stop. We're not doing this anymore. That's enough. We read in the Bible, and it's wrong. I don't need to know that. Brother Terry's the pastor, whatever. That's up to him. But our Father, I need church people on an altar, not just this morning, but again and again and again, making sure their lives are clean. They didn't defile themselves with the wickedness of this world this past week. And if they did, confessing it and asking to be cleansed and then praying for the nation. Lord, it ain't me that needs it, but my Scott needs it and my Mark needs it. And I don't know Terry and Miss Joyce's children by name, but I know they need it. I saw Emily Ross this morning. I know she's married now. And I don't know her last name. But Lord, for her, Lord Jesus, give us people that are turning away, not being a part of it, separating themselves. And then, oh God, as Terry gives the invitation, oh blessed Holy Ghost, draw near where there was someone embarrassed and hurt, because it was far too real to them. And Lord, it's plagued them for so long. But I told them they could come to you and you would embrace them in your arms and forgive them and wash them clean. May that be so this morning. May people that are here lost come to be saved in Jesus' name. Brother Angel, please.
Look up at me, if you will, please, while you stand there. Now, if you think I'm going to get in a hurry right now, you're dead wrong. So just relax. I hope you understand, folks, we're one presidential election away what he talked about being custom in this country. One. Who should be on the altar this morning? If you're living in adultery, you should be on the altar right down here. Calling it sin and asking God to forgive you and get it right. That's it. If you're watching pornography on television or tape or internet, you ought to be on the altar this morning getting it right. Amen. If you're a child, you're a teenager, you ought to be on the altar this morning. A young person, unmarried, you ought to be on the altar this morning begging God to help you stay clean. It's not just about you. It's about generations beyond you if Jesus stays in heaven, friend. And what becomes custom in this land. Revival. And by the way, if you're thinking to yourself, boy, I'm going to get home and I'm going to call Pastor Angel this week and just find out what he thought about that message. Let me save you a phone call. I'm just ashamed that I haven't preached more of that. I got on it last Sunday night. And I deal with it. He didn't say anything this morning that I haven't said. You should walk around naked in your house. I've said that. But we need revival. Revival takes time. And we need to start right now. Now look, if you're not saved, we have men over here for the men, ladies over here for the females. Brother Caleb will get you to one of them. If you're not saved, you need to come give your heart to Christ this morning. If you are saved, you never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you need to come identify with Him by being baptized. If you're a child of God, and the Spirit of God came by your seat this morning, this is the time, this is the place to deal with it now. Amen? Let's bow our heads together, please. No one looking. Who would say this morning, Pastor Angel, I'm saved and I know it. I'm on my way to heaven. I am saved, born again. Would you raise your hand, please? Don't lie to God. Don't lie to yourself. Thank you. Take your hands down. Who would say, I don't know that I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm saved. Who's here this morning? Pastor, I've just recently been saved. I've not been baptized. I came to follow the Lord in believer's baptism this morning. Raise your hand. Anybody like that this morning? God bless you. Come right ahead right now. We'll prepare baptism. Get you ready for baptism. That's right. We have the folks ready to help you right now. Somebody else? I've been saved but never baptized. How about a child of God? The Spirit of God come by your seat this morning. Are you living in sin? Don't kid yourself, folks. Don't kid yourself. I pastor. I visit in homes. I talk to people in the office. Don't kid yourself. That truth, those truths need to be preached. How about it this morning? You got time for a little revival in your heart? Teenager, you got time for a little revival? You got time to obey God? You got time to obey God? Young couple, you got time to obey God, man and woman? Let's let the Lord speak to our hearts this morning as the ladies play. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you come this morning? Would you step out? Would you come? Make your way to the altar this morning, would you? Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Have the courage that it takes to come. Would you come? Would you come? That's wonderful. Would you come this morning? Would you come this morning? Would you come? How about it? You don't have to come down here and confess this to me. I'm not a priest. I'm not the Pope. You're saved. You don't have to come lay your sin out before me or Brother Harris or anybody else. Come to God this morning. Lay it out for Him. He knows about it anyway. Agree with Him. Lord, it's wrong. It's sin. I need your help. Help me. Would you come? Don't step over anybody who's praying. You're done. They're not done. Just wait it out. Just wait it out. Just wait it out. That's good. That's good. Linger there for a few minutes. Let the Spirit of God do with your heart. Would you come? Would you come? Baptize this person and take an offering. I have never walked over to a guest preacher on Sunday morning and said, don't feel like you can't preach anything on here on Sunday morning that you would preach on. I've never said that. it's been our practice, for me personally, I don't compartmentalize the Bible. We don't have part of it for Sunday night, part of it for Wednesday night, part of it for Sunday morning. But I felt led of God to go tell him that this morning, and I'm glad he didn't get torn away from what we just heard. And buddy, we needed that. And if ever it needs to be heard, you think about it, it's on Sunday morning. Sure it is. It's the reason we have so many Sunday morning Christians never get right. Come get a little pablum, little milk toast, and go on with this conscience salve. Well, I'll tell you, that kind of preaching right there will get you right. No doubt about it. Amen. Brother Ron Garris, thank you for following the Lord. Thank you for being courageous enough to preach. That's not politically or even church accepted anymore in a lot of places. But, buddy, you heard the Word of God this morning. Amen. If you think for a minute that because that was Old Testament, that's over and done with, you don't know your Bible real well. Amen.